welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Hallelujah. God is so awesome, isn't he? God is so awesome. Hallelujah. Our text today is found in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Praise you, Lord. Luke chapter 5. I see a future Rice student over there. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For those who didn't know, Rice is the Redeemer Institute for Christian Education. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before it's all over, all y'all going to have a certificate. Y'all do know that, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then what a church will be. What a tool we'll all be in the hands of the Lord if we all just got that first level of biblical education. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 5, that's where Jesus had performed the miracle of the great catch of fish for Peter and his fellow fishermen. That's where he also healed the man with leprosy. And then there was a paralyzed man, you know, the one that his friends had brought him to Jesus on the mat. And he not only healed him, but he forgave him of his sins. But in Luke chapter 5 is where we see, in this particular gospel, where he begins to call his first disciples. And so our focal verses for today will be verses 27 and 28 in Luke chapter 5. And I'll be reading from the NIV. After this, after he had done all that, the miracle of the fish, healing of the man, forgiving him of his sins. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Will you bow in prayer with me? God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, O God, for this preaching moment. So indeed, O God, we ask that you do what only you can do, which is minister your word to us. Have your way. We're not going to limit you by asking you to do this, that, or the other. Have your way. Do all that you want to do in here this morning to us, through us, in us. Change us. Bless us all to have an encounter with you through this word today. Because this is your word. So I yield to you now, Holy Spirit, that you would preach this word. Give us ears to hear and not let one of my words fall to the ground just for your glory. Hallelujah. We praise you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. And I know in the New Living it says, "Come, follow me, be my disciple." The title of our sermon today is Call and Response. Call and Response. A call is simply a cry made as a summons or to attract someone's attention. So, for instance, if I say, "Monique," I called her. And she responded in her own way. Amen. Amen. No, amen. And that's a perfect example. Can I tell them what you said? She, because at first she didn't say anything. She just looked at me like, "Why are you calling me?" Right? But then she said, "What?" But that's a response. And even before she said something, that was still a response. Okay? And a response is either a verbal or written answer, and now we know it's not only verbal, but it can just be by our actions that we respond. Call and response has its roots in traditional African music and is also demonstrated in most genres of music. Some of it I couldn't bring to you today because it wouldn't have been appropriate for this setting, praise Jesus, you know, such as in the rap and the hip-hop. But there is call and response in pretty much every musical genre. Now, some of you remember in 1959, Ray Charles' R&B release, What I Say. Tell me what I say. Say, hey.
Hey.
Ho.
Ho.
Hey. Ho. Hey, hey, tell me what I say. Okay, I got to try to cover all the generations. Amen. Amen. Now, then there was James Brown's call. Say loud. Whoop, there it is. Praise the Lord. Like I said, this generation, I couldn't delve into all that stuff that y'all had, so I figured we all could understand those. But you know what? We also find call and response in contemporary African-American worship services. A pastor will call out to his or her congregants to engage an enthusiastic response. For example, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Call and response. And I said, God is so awesome. And as I said about trusting your anointing, God used the choir today to do call and response with Minister Tamika when they sang, I Really Love You. I was like, you just go ahead, God. Just do this. But that's the way God is. Now, in our text today, we find the Lord Jesus calling Levi, also known as Matthew, to become his disciple. In the words of Sophia from the Golden Girls, picture this. Here you have a man, a tax collector, one who is spurned by society because more than likely he's been ripping folks off. And he's sitting in his booth, waiting to collect taxes from all those vessels coming into the port of Capernaum. He's got all of his books there in the booth. And in those books, he's got records of taxes paid, taxes owed, and probably the new rate he was about to charge those ships coming in that day. This was his livelihood, and it was lucrative for him. And his reputation spoke for itself. He was not a trusted man. And yet the Lord Jesus sees this man and calls him to be his disciple. And J.B. Phillips said, when Jesus called Levi, when it says that he saw him, those words saw him in the Greek, there's no point in me telling you what the Greek is. I'll tell you what it means. Amen. We're not in Greek class. Praise Jesus. But it means when he saw him, he looked at him with attention. And that carried with it the idea of gazing with a purpose. Anybody know when God looks at you, he's looking at you with a purpose? Levi pushed back from his desk, walked out of his office, his little booth, and fell in step with Jesus, whom Jesus had ordered to follow him, and who immediately obeyed. Being designed of God, this is Philip's words, for a more honorable employment than that of collecting taxes. And whatever it was that we were doing too. Amen. Now, as I read and reread the text, what got to me was verse 28, because this was like a devotional scripture. I was reading this that morning. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm like, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And I read it over and over, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And I kept asking the Lord, who would do that? Just leave everything to follow you just like that. And much to my surprise, or should I say, very much to my surprise, he said, you did. And he messed me up when he said that. And I'm not the only one. There's many of you right here in this sanctuary that did the same thing. When Jesus called you, you got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, believe it or not, this message is part two to last week's Christians trying to reach what God has for us, because we can't reach for what God has for us unless we have truly responded to his call. There's nothing new about his call. Now, some of us may have had a Samuel experience for that first call. We had audibly heard God calling your name. Some of you in here have had a David experience where God called you and anointed you for his service long before you actually walked in that calling. there are a few different calls for the Christian. The most significant is the call to salvation. In Isaiah 1:18, the scripture says in the New King James, "Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then in John 3:16-18, New King James, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." In our text, we have the call to discipleship. And in Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, for some of us who don't know, a yoke is a wooden beam used between a pair of oxen or other animals to enable them to pull together on a load when working in pairs. Working in pairs. Working in pairs. Oh, I'm stuck. Working in pairs. Working in pairs. Working in unity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Working in pairs. Jesus used yoke as a metaphor for the heavy burdens imposed upon the people by the religious leaders, the Pharisees of his day. And he used it to contrast it for the much more manageable burdens the gospel imposes. The Vatican Radio in 2017 said God gave his people basic guidelines for a holy life, but the Pharisees ended up making God's law inaccessible and impossible to follow. For the Orthodox Jews, religion was a matter of burdens. They turned those Ten Commandments into 613 Mosaic laws and thousands of oral interpretations which dictated every aspect of life. Jesus invites burdened Israel and us to take his yoke upon our shoulders. The yoke of Christ can be seen as the sum of our Christian responsibility and duties. To take the yoke of Christ is not just a yoke from Christ, but also a yoke with him. A yoke is fashioned for a pair, a team working together. So we are not yoked alone to pull the plow by our unaided power. We are yoked together with Christ to work with him, using his strength. By saying that his yoke is light, Jesus means that whatever God sends us is made to fit our needs and abilities exactly. The Life Application Bible makes it clear that Jesus is not saying the end of all labor. He's not offering a life of ease, comfort, and pleasure. A yoke is still the oxen's tool for working hard, but it's a shared yoke with weight falling on bigger shoulders than ours. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Again, our text. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Have we given up everything that the Lord required of us? You see, God's not expecting exactly the same things from each of us. Jeremy Edelman says, "It would be poor biblical exegesis to assume that based on the accounts of the first disciples, that everyone who follows Jesus needs to leave every part of their life behind. That isn't the case. Not everyone who follows Jesus is called to leave everything behind in order to follow him. However, we are all called to make Jesus the number one priority, Minister Tamika, in our life, and that will mean we have to leave some things behind. When we follow Jesus, we must be ready to leave some things behind. At a minimum, they do not get to be first priority any longer. End quote. Of course, we will have some things in common that God requires all of us to give up, such as a sinful lifestyle. 1 John 3:9 says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Now, I know some of y'all in here just got real messed up by that scripture. Y'all should be coming to the Bible Institute. So I'm going to help you out and give you a little explanation. The scripture's not talking about living a sinless life, but a sinful lifestyle. Say, what you talking about, preacher? You know, where sin is very much a part of your lifestyle without question. I got to read the scripture again to help us out. No one, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no one who is born of God will continue to sin, will continue to live a sinful lifestyle because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning freely because they have been born of God. Make that real plain. Christians do sin. Some Christians catch a case. That's why we have prison ministry. You're not going to get saved and stop sinning. But that's not to give us a license to sin. The Apostle Paul said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Okay, Lord, so I'm going to repeat that too. Praise you. So we're not talking about living a sinless life, but a sinful lifestyle. What are you talking? Oh, I got to say that part. I was asking myself a question. Praise you, Lord. If you can sin freely on the regular with no twinge of conviction or guilt regarding the way you live, you need to hit your knees and ask the Lord, am I really saved? Or as we said last week, am I just acting religious? Praise you, Lord. Most of you here today have responded to God's call of salvation. And some of you have responded to his call of discipleship. And you've never looked back for long. Oh, I live in the real world. And you are trying to reach for what God has for you, severely straining the powers of your endurance, exerting yourself to the utmost, stretching out to grasp, to seize and hold firmly what God has for you. If your response to the Lord has cost you nothing, nothing at all, not one friendship, not the giving up of one thing you love doing, of giving, going to one place you love to go, nothing, then if this is true, that your response to God has changed absolutely nothing in your life, then I dare say you have never responded to his call. And as she sang, he's still waiting for your response. Now, those of you who haven't responded may ask, well, how do I do all this? By just saying so to the Lord. Now, of course, the enemy is going to try to run interference. And right now, already, he's bringing thoughts to you, some of your minds. This is what he's saying to you. What? Something else for you to do? Where are you supposed to find the time to make him first? All those kids you got need your attention. You do know that your sister has been eyeballing your husband, don't you? So you better start paying more attention to him. What? You got to turn in your player card? How much more is this Christianity going to require of you? Well, tell that devil right now. I realized last week that I have not been straining the powers of my endurance to reach out, seize, and lay hold of all God has for me. I thought I had answered his call, but I've kept it at a comfortable place. I've not yet turned the TV off, even for 1 hour. Not cut down on all that time spent in the market. Do we not know that people who have their food delivered spend less money? I come in here to get some bread and milk. Oh, child, that's on sale. Let me get some. Oh, what? Hey, girl, how you doing? What's that you got? I'm going to get me one. And next thing you got a cart full of stuff. That's going to spoil one day because you didn't need to buy all that stuff. And what about all that time you spend on your phone? Some of us are just, I just can't seem to turn it off, not even for 1 hour a day. Because don't you know I'm important? And people have to be able to get in touch with me. Or maybe if we turned our phones off, we would be a little upset when we turned it back on to find that there were no missed calls. What is the worst that could happen? I know some people tell me, because that's time I turn my phones off at night, the landline, the cell phone. Well, I mean, no, I got children. I leave my phone on. I got this. By faith, one lady told me, I leave my phone on by faith. I said, I turn mine off by faith. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah, because I figure he's up. He's up. He never slumbers nor sleeps. Whatever comes across that phone, he can handle it, not me. And I always tell people, I don't mean no harm. If somebody dies in the middle of the night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, don't call me. I don't have a resurrection ministry. And they're going to be just as dead at 7 o'clock. Oh, hallelujah. I told y'all I live in the real world. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, help us, King Jesus. And those are just a few things. Well, hallelujah. Go ahead, Holy Ghost, work the room. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. But looking at that phone, was that my phone? Now you're all in the midst of praising the Lord. And you know they say confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation, right? Deacon Rose is my prayer partner. So at every Wednesday prayer team, we fast and pray on Wednesday mornings. The Lord had to deal with me. He let me do it for years. I'm a type A personality. I got to get stuff done. So while we praying, I'm multitasking. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing the other. And then one day the Lord had to let me know I wasn't giving him my full attention. And every day, in spite of how many children he has, he gives me his full attention. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 4:8a says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Last week we sang Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Were we lying? Or just singing a song? I didn't mean nothing, Lord. I was just singing a song. It was just a song I was singing. Well, Matthew 12:36-37 said, but I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted and by your words you will be condemned. And I dare say singing is words coming out of our mouths. You know, the parents of the old time, they called you once. And you better respond. And you did. Partially out of fear, and then later respect. How many more times do we think God is going to call us? And do we see that the Lord Jesus did not just call men to follow him? He called them to become his disciples. And we do know that every disciple of Christ is a Christian, but not every Christian is a disciple. By the way, we see that Levi demonstrated that he had been changed, that he had accepted Jesus' call to discipleship. Because in verse 29, it says, then Levi, after his encounter with Jesus, the next day, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. See, first of all, that means, in other words, your salvation should make bring about a change. What you got, you want everybody else to get it. That's why I'm always out there trying to recruit folks for Rice, because I know what's going to happen after you get in the Word. So this was, in a sense, an evangelistic move on Levi's part right after he had his encounter with Jesus. He didn't go to any Bible school anywhere. But he had had a real encounter. Jesus had called him and he had responded. The scripture says that he not only invited the other publicans, the other tax collectors, but he invited others. And in the Greek, what that means, he invited others of the same kind, which means others who were ostracized by society. There are so many that are in our area where we work, where we live, going out of church, in the church, who are ostracized by society. Do we join with society in ostracizing them? Or are we so glad that we have responded and he has changed our lives that we take the time and talk to that one who we may think is derelict, okay? But nothing is too hard for God. Wonder if Levi was grateful like that woman at the well in John chapter 4. Remember when she had her encounter with the Lord? She left all her water pots. She ran back to town. Come see this man who told me everything I ever did and yet still wants me. Still is going to give me eternal life. Living water. I heard Mahalia Jackson sing, I thought I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself. We're talking about a call and response. I know when I got saved that day, I went home and Python was sitting there looking at TV, and I was like, I'm going to tell him I got saved. No, I'll tell him later. I'm going to tell him I got saved. No, I'll tell him later. I kept going back and forth. Next thing I know, Python, I got saved today. He said, what's that mean? You're going to be like that girl now? I said, no, I'm not going to be like her. I'm going to be like me. But that response brings about a change. And you don't think you're going to tell anybody, but you're going to find yourself blurting things out, okay? Call and response. Call and response. It was interesting. The Lord had me to do this. I'm going to share this. Thinking about how God was there all the time. Yesterday, I didn't know until this morning, that the Holy Ghost had set the whole thing up. I had to take my 2.5-year-old granddaughter to get her hair braided. And I will never, ever do that again. Because I was tortured watching her be uncomfortable, okay? Praise you, Lord. He's going to use this. He's used it with me this morning. I took her to it. I took her there. I'm the one that took her there. God's the one that took you where you at today, okay? Now, here she is. She has to sit on this little round stool, which is the most uncomfortable place for anyone to sit on to get their hair done, because there's no back to lean on, no arms or anything. And it's an awkward position, but she's a little 2.5-year-old. She's just sitting up there. She started out okay. Then she's in a situation with a stranger. So there's no point of reference to give her any comfort. You know, like that situation God's got you in right now. There's nothing. You're uncomfortable. Then the time, she was okay at first, but you know when things keep going on and on, after a while, you'd be like, come on, Lord, come on, Lord, come on, Lord. It began to go on for too long. And then that's where there comes in some painful parts. which added to the situation. Because I'm sitting here watching her be in pain, and she's looking over at me like, me, ma. I'm like, why are you letting this happen to me? And I'm sitting there like, I can't fix the rest of her hair. I would take her now, but I can't leave part of it not braided. I'm just like, I'm going through these changes. But I knew the desire, the end was going to be, it was going to be beautiful. Like the Lord says in his time. In his time. Lord, I've been sitting here too long. I've been going through this too long. Lord, when you going to deliver me? Lord, I responded to your call. I gave everything to you that you wanted. And yet you got me in this situation all this time. But he said in his time, he makes all things beautiful. I mean, she looked at me like I was her betrayer. Like I was the one who had put her in that situation. And sometimes that's the way we feel about God. God, you got me in this. I love you. I know I'm not the only one that goes through this. I love you. And I'm really trying to figure out why you're doing this to me. Well, I've been good, God. That's what one of my professors said. You want to say that to God sometimes? I've been good. What's all this about? But he knows what he's doing. He knows the way that we must take. All he wants us to do is keep saying yes. Call and response. God has been calling each human being from the time he placed us in our mother's wombs. He's been waiting all of your life for your response. Because as the songwriter said, he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line for each one of us just to say yes. Praise the Lord. Will you stand? Praise the Lord. There may be someone here today who has never yet received.